WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Honorable esteemed listeners, we welcome you to this interview segment, Golden Pieces of Advice. And this is by Mulana Musa Akudi, inshallah. The date today is the 21st of Shawwal, 1445. And that is the 21st in South Africa. Surrounding other countries as well, they may be witnessing the 22nd of Shawwal. So we welcome you too. And as well, it is corresponding to their Gregorian calendar, the 1st of May, 2024. Let's welcome our Honorable Mulana Musa Akudi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana Zahid?
Alhamdulillah. How is Mulana keeping?
Alhamdulillah.
Mulana, I received Mulana's message about the Workers' Day. So I was just thinking, we're still at work. So there's, for a believer, there's no Workers' Day. And Mulana can advise us more on this, because sometimes what happens is we tend to feel, okay, instead of utilizing this moment and saying, okay, I can do extra things, maybe fulfill the needs of my family members, or I can do the things that I couldn't do, we tend to become relaxed also on aspects of ibadah as well. Like our salah then tends to be just put out of the equation. Mulana can advise us.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the honored listeners of Markaz Sahaba. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa amma ba'd. Workers' Day, Mawlana Zahid, that you're referring to, for us, work in the Quran material is referred to as amalus salih also. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati kanat lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula. For those who bring iman and they work righteous deeds, for them there will be the gardens of Jannah as an entertainment, you know, in paradise. So what you're saying, yes, you're also working today and you are working for Jannah, right? And there are many people that work, and the Workers' Day today generally refers to the work of dunya. Exploitation in its highest degree. So pacify the people by giving them a day off and tell them this is Workers' Day. Disrespect your parents. Don't care about them. Put them in old age homes and call it Father's Day. Speak back to your mother. You know, don't care about her or anything like that. When a boy is getting married, then the girl wants to inquire, is your mother going to stay with us? You know, well, I don't want a husband with me or something like that. So then they honor women on one day and they call them Mother's Day. So like you had pointed out that, you know what, I mean, every day is a Workers' Day. Every day is a Mother's Day. Every day is a Father's Day. You know, so we honor workers every time. And what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding workers, that pay your workers, your laborers, before their sweat and their perspiration dries. Once I was reading up, you know, on the aspect of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's rahmatul lil alameen, and how he is a mercy unto mankind. So when referring to parents, you know, then the Quran Sharif ayah stands out, wabil walidayni ihsana. If he speaks about children, he who is not kind, you know, to his younger ones, does not show respect to his elder ones, is not one of us. You'll find that in the hadith. In the same way, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith for the laborer, once the sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his hands were very, very rough, you know, and that this person had worked very, very hard. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, honored him and told him, khayru man ya'kul ar-rajulu min amali yadayh. The best that a man can eat is by the effort of his own hands. You know, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put them on a high pedestal. The acquiring of rizq halal and tayyibah, that is what the whole world is about. Today, if any boy wants to do any profession, you know, he wants to go, the aim and the object of the profession to assist humanity is a person will think, what can I reap from this profession? Alhamdulillah, there are people who are guided to study Islam, you know, and they become ulama and everything. They don't look at the aspect of finances, because if you had looked at the salaries that you are being paid as a worker in a madrasa or as an imam in a masjid, etc., you know, that I'm talking of days. Today it may have improved, but you know, days gone by, people earn so little. There was an imam in India. They advertised a post for an imam. So they saw, they said that he must be a qari, and he must be what you call eloquent in Arabic and Urdu and give beautiful lectures, and he must be able to perform nikahs. And whenever the time for any mayyat is there, then he must be able to do ghusl and perform the janaza salat, etc. And then he must do da'wah work, and he must do a lot of social work. Look at the widows and the orphans and everybody in the community. Then the elderly people must go and visit them. So they had a whole string of everything, you know. But when the salary time came to discuss, then they gave him a very, very meager salary. So the Maulana told the trustees of that particular masjid, he said, look here, I'm not asking for very much. I just want you to estimate, work out what your monthly expenses are. Just give me half of that. That's all I'm asking for. Whatever you work out, you know, as trustees, your monthly expenses, I would appreciate 50% of that. And he never got the job, you see. So if we speak about the rights and the dues for workers, then we find that we should be holding our ulama-i kiram on very, very high pedestals. Then we should honor them. Recently I heard, you know, there was a person who was saying and blurting out on social media that the ulama do nothing. They haven't contributed nothing to the world. If you look at the cell phone in your hand, it was invented by others. If you look at everything, you're looking at. So our job as ulama, you know, you're leveling the accusation against the ulama, that the ulama only know how to do these few things. You know, give Juma lectures, give lectures in the masjid, or go out for tabligh. And this is exactly the time. Kul hadihi sabili adhu ilallah. This is my work. This is my way. And I call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used his life in operating in this particular manner. Yeah, and we're doing exactly the same. So you can level that same accusation to doctors and say, you know, you doctors haven't invented a single thing. You know, you haven't even invented penicillin. Or you haven't done this and you haven't done that. You haven't done that. And you can level it to anybody in any fraternity. So I ask ulama, we didn't study physics or chemistry and science that we are going to contribute in that particular factor. Yes, we'll encourage people and we'll tell them that, you know, وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. You know, prepare yourself against the enemy in terms of strength. So, you know, military might. But this, there's fields that we can go into, and we can encourage all those type of things as well. So ulama have their particular responsibilities and their work 24/7. And then the others that also have their work and they do their work. But I was saying that when your parents send you to become an alim, they are not looking at the physical benefits they can get materialistically, I mean, in the world. They are looking at ruhani benefits, that how Allah Ta'ala will tell the child, Iqra, you know, wartaqi, you know, fa'in akhir al-manzil, your manzil is still, you know, you start reading the Quran Sharif, start climbing up the stairs, and to reach the highest manzil, take so many people to Jannah with you. These are all the virtues and the blessings that our parents looked at when they made us ulama. You know, and the risk comes when Allah Ta'ala has ordained for us. So together with that, if we conduct some business, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Syria for business, and he was paid his due reward by Bibi Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then eventually when she proposed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, her wealth became a means of assisting Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the propagation of this deen. So what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also did, he was also a tajir and a trader. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam safeguarded the honor and the dignity of every person in this ummah, whoever he may be. You know, the mujahid, if you look at that, like I spoke about the parents and the worker and the child in the house and the ustad and the teacher and the sheikh, everybody, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered, and the yatim and the orphan, his haqq is that you put your hands over his head, for every strand of hair you're going to get sawab. So alhamdulillah, so workers must be honored every day.
Mulana,
and the Mulana,
sorry to interrupt. There's this advice that we require, and I like Mulana's responses on these things as well. Last week we had a brother, it's all fits in with us here. He's from Kenya.
Yeah.
And he came, he sat by our house, and he went to visit many of our seniors. And then he also, someone told him just to come visit or to come, they were passing by. So, of course, we are just students learning from our seniors. But as he came, I was anticipating to meet him and hear what he has to say about the other seniors, what was his experiences. I mean, he came all the way from Kenya for two reasons. One was to meet the seniors of South Africa, and the other was for the Ijtima. So he was telling me, he told me a few things, his experiences with different seniors. And I think he left this Monday or Tuesday. And one of the disturbing things he mentioned was that, because I was asking him, how's the situation in Kenya? He said over 200 masjids, but he says not a single masjid where the ulama from Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah can go and give a talk or anything like that. It's all controlled. So I asked him, what's the root cause for this? Like, is there no one taking up the courage? What is the reason? And it was about all this funding and how it plays a major role as well. He says, no, the people have money. There are a lot of Muslims that have a lot of money there. But there is no interest in the ulama, and especially the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So for them to go forward, or for them to get a platform, or for them to even get a position, it becomes very difficult. He said only, he mentioned under, I think I will be exaggerating to say how little, but he said under 10%. He may have said even less, I just can't remember the exact, but definitely under 10%, he said, that is the effort of the ulama that is there within the ulama fraternity, that is actually having the opportunity to make effort. So this plays a major role. Mulana can advise us more, because I said, consult the seniors and see what they have to say as well, and how we can bring about this value again back for it. He said there's no value for them, and this is now, it's causing sort of a decline. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla assist us. Mulana can advise us.
It varies from country to country. I suppose, look here, when in the old days when our ulama, when our South African parents, you know, I went to Argentina, and in Buenos Aires, the Saudis put up a masjid, and then we found one masjid in Mendoza. There's a very, very, very old masjid. You know, there was an earthquake in Mendoza, and with all the buildings suffered and every damage and everything, and then they built this new city. And then, you know, you've got boulevards, roadside cafes, wide roads, you know, beautiful broad pavements, etc. But the masjid we found was in one of the back streets.
Gee.
So they didn't incorporate it into the main road. But this masjid didn't suffer anything, you know, with the earthquake. So we couldn't stay in masjid there, so we stayed in the hostels. But it was a very, very, a trip that really awakened me. Many of the Muslims that came to Argentina, you know, from the Lebanon, Syria, and Palestine, etc., were already being shipped, you know, in the 40s, in the huge numbers, into South America, like Brazil and Venezuela, and even in Argentina. So there are a lot of Muslims in Argentina, but you never found masjids in all the areas. You just found Syrio-Lebanese clubs.
Gee.
Right? So our people go to other countries. At the moment, you'll find people come here to South Africa from Bangladesh, from Pretoria, from Bangladesh,
Gee.
And from India, hmm. and people come from other countries in the world, from Pakistan, etc. And then you'll find, like you say, many people come from the African countries. People come from Malawi, people from a lot of countries and everything. And maybe the cross in the basic intention is to better themselves financially. So they also come here for work. And they also come here to come and uplift themselves. And Islam knows no borders. So, you know, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, we must always be there having this purpose in our hearts, in our minds, you know. So people make hijrat for various reasons. And one of the reasons that they make hijrat for is to go and work somewhere. So you'll find expats, etc., in Dubai, you know, where the foreign population in the United Arab Emirates is almost 7 million. And the Emiratis are only about 800,000. So you can imagine the disparity, how much workforce is coming from other countries.
Gee.
And the conditions under which they work in Saudi Arabia, in these other countries, and all those skyscrapers are going out, coming up, you know, with the sweat and perspiration of the people that come from in the Indo-Pak subcontinent, Indonesia, and other countries of the world. And what they go through. But nevertheless, I just digressed a little while here. So, as far as our ulama are concerned, now I'm speaking about in Argentina, there's only Syro-Lebanese clubs in all the areas. That was a social place of gathering, etc. And they never had much masajid in there. Whereas in Saudi Arabia, when I returned from there, and, you know, it was around 11:30 or so, they said, hey, you know what? Let's just wait for Zohar Salah to begin in its awal time, and then we can just go and sleep, because we still musafirs, you know, we're the markers. So I said to myself, no, I'm not going to sleep, because it's how many days have passed.
Gee.
I haven't read a single namaz in a masjid.
Mm.
So I need to read my namaz with jamaat in the masjid, and I will be very, very happy. Then I made a statement when I came back, giving a little wakar guzari, and I said, you know, how many of us lifted our hands and made dua for our forefathers who came into this country here, and wherever they went, Pretoria, you can look in town. You can look at Vereeniging. You can look at Middelburg. You can look at Kirk Street and Nugget Street in Newtown in Johannesburg. You know, you can look at Grey Street in Durban. Wherever our people went, Lichtenberg, anywhere, they put up a masjid, you know, first thing. And they were not wealthy. They had very little money with them. And
Gee.
They put up a masjid. And then they had an alim that they got somebody to teach their children. And our parents are the products of those particular ustads. We also, in the 1960s, when I went to madrasa, you know, 1959, 1960, I remember, you know, our ustads, they were earning meager salaries.
Gee.
But they dedicated themselves, and our members now, alhamdulillah, majority of them are in control by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. So the brother from Kenya may be having a deliberation from his side, but for us ulama, yeah, we never looked at funds. It was so little, we did something else, and we continued with the work of Allah's deen.
Gee.
So that particular mention that the brother made from Kenya, you know, I don't stand much ground. Right now, I'm going to Kenya on Thursday, on Friday morning, inshallah. And I'm going to go and see some areas there where Islamic work needs to be done.
Okay.
And then I'm going to Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, and Pemba. Pemba is an island where recently a friend came from there, and he put up a school for 400 children because he was born in Pemba,
Gee.
An island. So Molana Khalil from Burundi, he mentioned to me, he says that, Molana, you know what, Pemba ma itani Gujarati, nothing being happening Islamically.
Gee.
And he says, in Tanzania, you know, near the capital city, etc., you know, there's work of Islam taking place. But if you go further up, there's over 2,000 masjids. And then, you know, he says 2-3 musallis. They haven't got a tarteeb for ta'lim and all these type of things. So we're going to set that up. So Molana himself in Burundi, which is, I think, one of the poorest countries in the world, and I've visited quite a few times. You know, I happened to go with Ashraful Aid to that particular area there. And in Burundi, Mulana Suhail Wadi, who runs this organization, you know, he sent me out there for the first time. And you know what? When you're distributing, you come down to tears. You haven't seen poverty like it in your life. Children who never, ever held or saw money in their lives, that is the condition of that particular place there. So Maulana trains the people, and he tells his students, he says, look here, this is Allah's work. And that is how we also have dedicated ourselves with the fadl of Allah. You know, Maulana Zaya, one of our ustas in the madrasa, one day he said so beautifully, he says, when the money is finished, there's still plenty of months left. You know, that's the reality that we face in our country. And one of the things that changed dramatically now. So Maulana puts these students in the various madrasas and he tells them, right, now, Imam Khatib course, you're an Imam and you're a Khatib and you teach the children. Look here, there's no money. Can you recall Sahaba-i-Kiram going from this place to that place? You know what I mean? Having paid salaries and having some jamaats and organizations looking after them. Can you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to go and propagate the deen, going to defend the deen, and he tied stones to his belly? What type of a story was that? I mean, what type of salaries were there for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Absolutely nothing. There was nothing. Jeez. There was hunger. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala should roll on the ground, you know, where the Ashabi Sufa should be. And he wasn't crying because of sickness or anything like that. It was the pangs of hunger that had overtaken them at that particular time, in the valley of Abu Shabi Abi Talib, etc. So, you know, Sahaba Ikram went through this difficult period. Rasulullah also himself, you look at the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happens is we have to keep that our primary aim, to make da'wah, to assist the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, you know, financial, if the community is well off, the community must look after our ulama. You know, it's very, very important. Hmm. And pay them the due salaries and everything. So the brother from Kenya, okay, if we don't take the cut of our, we say, no, the salary is too little, we're not going to take the member, then the others are going to take the member, which is true. So he says that there's over 100 masajid there. And you know what happens? Then you find that the Khojas, or they are kind of a branch of the Shias, the Aga Khanis. They are very, very wealthy, you know. And then they can buy out people of their faith, you know, to run their institutions. And the Qadianis, they themselves also, if you're going to Switzerland or a few other places, I went down to Kashmir. So we had a conference, you know, and we had to deliver some talks on Qadianism. So they asked me to speak. So I told them, Urdu mein to main zyada takreer nahi karta hoon, but I can manage. They said, Angrezi mein takreer karo, speak in English. So I went to one territory right where the Qadianis are.
Chee.
And then they put their loudspeakers very loud, you know, that the whole community can hear. And I spoke about Qadianism, how it came into its existence, how they abrogated the masail on jihad, etc. How they slept in bed. Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was a British. How he shook hands with the Queen, etc. You know, and then how they flourished financially and what they are doing. So they buy out, you know, people and individuals by opening up a school. And people are fascinated with their school, but it's a Qadiani background school. So they'll go to this particular institution, you see. So they promote their particular ideologies. So it all comes down to, you know, finances in the end. That people in Malawi as well, you know, wherever you'll find a masjid, you'll find a church bus nearby. The children will run to the church because they're giving out free meals. They have these particular things as well. So
the brother,
Jimolana.
Sorry, the brother message. He said there's 200 masajid only in Nairobi. In Kenya itself, there is much more masajid. So, and the other aspect is mentioned is that there's two things to it. The one is the ulama not interested, and the other is the people are also not interested in the ulama. So what's happening is the Salafis, Saudi Arabia is putting around their masajid all over, and a lot of Salafis are becoming or are taking the podiums, and that is what is happening.
Absolutely true, Maulana. It comes down to work and finance. You know, And these people are all financed by the Saudi regime, you know. And then the Iranian clerics, or the Iranian government also, they also pump in great amounts of monies, you know, in many parts of the world, you know, where they want to promote Shiism. So it's all about work that you do for them and the money that you derive, you know. So work also, we're speaking about this Workers' Day, and the talk escalated to this particular area, yeah. But be as it may be, whatever it is, you know, our ulama must dedicate themselves for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the sideline, you know what, if you have to do a business, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi was a very great cloth merchant. But he also worked, you know. You'll find stories where one of his workers had sold a piece of cloth, you know, which had some flaws in it. And when, you know, you might be very happy when a big sale has been made. So when he inquired, they said that, you know, they sold this. But did you mention the defects in this cloth to the person? No. You know, and the weather was also not a bright day. Maybe it was overclouded, etc. So maybe it was an evening time that the customer couldn't see it and everything. That day's takings, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi gives it all away in charity. You know,
true.
So these were people who also worked. You know, so there's nothing wrong as mu'minin to do work. As Anbiya Kiram who made armor, you know, carpentry, you know, various fields and anything like that you can go into. So that's not a problem at all. And anything that we want to take ahead in our lives as well, we're going to have a management team. We're going to have a workforce. This is what they talk about. So we must share our resources with our workers, you know, and on the Islamic angle and that to all the Muslims in the world, you know what I mean? We send this message to them that look after your ulama in your locality, you know, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you, you know, in your endeavors. Allah will give you barakah in your rizq. Allah will care for you. Give them time off for salah, you know, because they also five times salah. You also take off time for salah and everything. And you fulfill their rights. Allah will give you barakah. And then what you're saying is also many students, Mulana Khalil was also telling us, he says when they come to South Africa to study, they live in this environment here, right? And this environment is more plush. The food, the madrasa is of a better standard. And then the minute they graduate, then they find a job, you know, as a muazzin or an imam in one of the local masjids. And they came from nearby countries and they don't go back to service their own countries because materialistically speaking is much more rosier on this side here, you see. So what you are saying, that you know that we should get our brothers who study in these from these particular areas to sincerely go back in the areas, and we can also support them exactly what we are doing here with many of our organizations, and we also go and spread the deen. So now Morana Khalil, what he does is when he takes his students, he puts them, he says, okay, this is the work of the Anbiya. This is the work of the Sahaba. You people teach, you're sitting here in the village, you're doing nothing. So you teach in the afternoons a little, but inshallah, when I get some money in my hands, I'll come and give you. So he goes and give them a $10. So a $10 is enough. It's our 200 rand. But that 300 rand, that's the average worker that earns that money in Burundi. You see? So that also is difficult to get. But he says, so they dedicate themselves. And you'll go to many masjids in the rural areas that they are running, madrasas, that alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, that people understand this ikhlas and the sincerity and this concept that we are working for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they dedicate themselves. Like the ulama that came, you know, our forefathers called them into our countries. And they never worried about finances. And then, you know, that Mulana Said, some of them you speak to them, you know, you speak on Mulana Shabir Kadwa, Shabir Kadwa, a friend of mine. You ask them, they were 12 or 14 in the family, right? Father was an alim. But he grew them all up. A lot of barakah they had in their lives, you know. They were focused on serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, that existed with the ulama in our country as well. I mean, like our ulama, Mufti Abdul Qadir, and them will wake up, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning to dedicate themselves to the work of deen and everything. What is this? This is all ibtigha' liwajhillah, everything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the end, you know, like our ulama, they say, your children eat ice cream, our children also like ice cream. Your children maybe like chocolates. Our children also like some chocolates or something like that. So we care for both sides, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So workers, I didn't think that the talk will go in this particular direction, but we must honor our workers. We must love them. Eat with them on the same table. If they're non-Muslim, inshallah, you'll see them embracing Islam, you know. And, you know, there was a time in our when we remember that your worker, if you gave him tea, you gave it to him in a jam tin, you know. So we realized, no, Islam doesn't teach that. We have to teach, you know, the elderly people in the past. No, treat them on the same pedestal as you are. So when we come home, in the very same cup, as long as they don't consume liquor and that you serve them tea, you know, you serve them their cakes and biscuits and everything. They're so happy that they're given that honor and that dignity and that respect, etc. So when we give our workers that, it's dawah on its own, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. I think it was an interesting discussion, inshallah. Somewhere in Kenya, something happens and something will, because at the end, if the ulama are prevented or there's no interest or there's both sides, then what happens is the punishment comes back in those areas. So inshallah, someone will listen to Mulana's advice, and something, inshallah, Mulana is going there as well. So make dua as well. Make dua for us as well. Jazakumullah khairan for your time, Mulana. On Workers' Day, you are still working, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Mulana, not to forget, Mulana, you know, our women folk in our homes, I am seeing, you know what, there's no workers that will exceed them in their dedication. They get no salaries.
Gee.
And Mulana, they provide the best food for us. They have our clothing washed. They look after our homes. They look after our children. So you know what? Our mothers are nurses. Our mothers are professional teachers. Our mothers are professional chefs. Our mothers are professional doctors. Our mothers are professional advisors. Our mothers are this and this and this. Our wives are the same, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the high pedestal. And Rasulullah Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about their honor, and he said that Jannat lies at the feet of thy mother. Why? Because you can see the responsibility. They answer the phone when somebody phones. They attend to the door when somebody calls. And nowadays they have to be, you know, order online, and then you know what? They order with the internet, you know, they got an app and they say, oh, chill. Checkers online, let's order this and that. So they're doing, they're saving us all the difficulty of doing shopping and everything. They're doing it themselves. Oh, Allahu Akbar, you know what I mean? They're working from morn till night. Subhanallah, may Allah reward.
I mean,
they're the most esteemed, honorable, beautiful, wonderful, great workers that we pay tribute to on this day of Workers' Day.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana. I call them the powerhouse, as the Jamaat brothers say, powerhouse. So they are the powerhouse. May Allah Azawajal reward us all. And you, Mulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132.